Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. Tim Berry is our guest. He's our good friend, president of Palo Alto Software, the folks who make Business Plan Pro. And Tim's a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. He's now in his 10th year as a member of our Brain Trust. Tim, thank you. Welcome back, and thank you for all the great wisdom you've imparted upon us over the years.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I'm very happy to be with you again.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I know one of the things that you do in your work as the world's business planning expert, Tim, is you're called upon from time to time during the year, two or three times a year, or more maybe, to travel to different parts of the country and to be a judge in business planning contests, sort of, universities, different universities put these things on, and they invite people, I guess many of them are students from all over the world, to prepare their business plans and make their pitches. And you're one of the judges, and you've been doing this for a long time, haven't you?
It's fascinating. Yes, 10 or 11 years now. The students with new ventures and new ideas and the whole excitement around the new business and putting together the plan and pitching it, it's a lot of fun.
Well, and thankfully, and we appreciate this, about once a year or so, folks, one of the things that Tim and I talk about are these events that he's been judging, and I've asked him to join us today to give us a little bit of a tour of some of these. Now, you did one in Texas, I think, didn't you, and also one in Oregon.
Right. This last 3 weeks I was for the New Venture Championship, which is Graduate Intercollegiate International in Portland, Oregon, and then what they call Moot Corp in Austin, Texas.
Not Moot Court, but Moot Corp. I love that. That's a great term.
Well, you know, there's history to that. That program started in 1984. When two Texas MBA students were envying the experience of Moot Corp,
right,
that law students have,
mm-hmm,
as in fake court, and they invented Moot Corp as a spinoff on Moot Corp.
That's a great perspective. And mm-hmm. And so this time when you went down to University of Texas, what did you find?
I'm amazed always at how well these ventures are presented to the judges. Judges are going to be a diverse group of people, usually in their 40s or 50s, most of them involved in investing in new ventures. So entrants to a competition are going to be grad students, usually MBA students. They'll be teams of three or four. They have to develop a business plan and develop a presentation and present this new business to the judges and then go through about 20 minutes of questioning. And many of these businesses end up being real businesses. Roughly half of the businesses that are competing are because these students want to graduate in a month or two and go out and start them. And it's amazing how far along some of these businesses are.
Which is quite a bit different from, you know, when you think about students doing businesses, a lot of people have in their mind the high school kids doing some kind of little entrepreneurial program, and it's something they've dreamed up. They're doing a little craft or something like this. These are real prototype businesses, many of them, aren't they?
Well, many of them are already selling.
Oh, they're already in business.
And to give you a specific example, texture of these things, one of the businesses that presented in Texas last week was named EVAPT, The presenters were two Indian gentlemen in their middle to late 30s, each of whom had 10 or 12 years of industry experience in India, and each of whom was now graduating, almost to graduating in their MBA from the University of Texas. And they're talking about a very involved high-tech software, system software business that already has several customers who are paying like $25,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're far along, but they weren't the only ones.
There almost seems like there ought to be two different classes of businesses, the ones that are already working and the ones that are prototypes. And it almost seems like the ones that are working almost have an advantage over the prototypes. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And think about that, and I'll get you to answer that when we come back after these messages. We're going to talk about some more business plans that Tim has seen and also what he's learned about those that you and I can learn from them. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check that out. Use it to your advantage. Don't forget to check out the new audio capability, the new ways that we're streaming and allowing you to podcast our shows, our interviews. And so check that out when you get a chance. That's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there, too. And also our knowledge base, the brand-new knowledge base, AskJim.biz, where you get small business answers now. I hope you're checking that out and using that to your advantage. All of our sites are free, no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. You can have all the stuff that's there. So please take advantage of that. And our job is to keep you out of the business obituaries. We take that very seriously, so we hope you'll use what we have. Tim Berry is the same way. He takes that very seriously, too. He works every day very hard, he and his organization, to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful with the products and the services that they offer there at Palo Alto Software. And, Tim, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's www.bplans.com. BPLANS.com is a very well-known resource site for business planning with sample business plans and questions and answers and tools and a lot of information that's free.
And of course, folks, that's his education site. Tim always leads with that one rather than the one where you can buy stuff. But that's the one where you can get a bunch of you can read a lot of business plans and that have already been done. You can get a pretty good idea about how to put your own together. Tim, you're talking about these contests that you've been going to and judging, where you've seen some pretty cool things. What was the characteristics of the business plans that really caught your eye that you've been judging? What were the ones what did someone do that you thought, you know what, that's a pretty cool way to do a business plan? That's a really effective way to not only prepare a business plan but to use it as a model to run my business successfully.
Interesting question, Jim, because as I think about it, the best business plans get out of the way between what's going to happen and me understanding it.
So explain what you mean by that.
I don't think about the business plan as I'm reading it unless it interferes with me getting the message. If it's written poorly, if it's organized poorly, if suddenly things are missing that seem to be
so
obvious.
So if you're reading a business plan and you feel that you need to grade it, it's probably not a great business plan. But if you're reading it and it sort of unfolds in front of you almost like a novel unfolds, then you feel like you've got a good business plan.
Yes. If it reads well, you don't notice the reading. You know, it's just, oh, you're thinking about the business. Is this going to work? Is this going to work? What about this opportunity? What about that opportunity? So that the organization of the plan, the flow of the plan, what's included, don't get in the way of hearing about as you read the business plan, the business that's going to happen. Why is it needed? What problems does it solve? How many people have those problems? How are we going to tell those people that we solve those problems? How much are we going to charge? How much is it going to cost? Mm-hmm. In the end, what fascinated me about business plans for 30-some years now is that it is a description of a business start to finish, and it includes the whole business, how we got together, what the problem is, et cetera. What I'm talking about is a full description of a business, finance, market, marketing, sales, management team, and that to me is always fascinating. When it's well done, I'm very intrigued with the business. When you trip over things like, this is written poorly, this is, you know, this is redundant, then you start to notice the plan. You don't
want to notice the plan. Should we, one thing we have to point out, I think, Tim, is the discussion you and I are having today is about business plans that are being judged.
Yes.
And, of course, all business plans are judged to some degree. Our banker judges them, our investment prospects judge them, maybe our customers judge the business model that the plan gives rise to. But should we, are we being a little hypercritical when you talk about these plans that you're judging? Does that have the potential to intimidate people who are just trying to get their business plan off the ground for the first time?
Yes, definitely.
So we should be careful about that, shouldn't we?
Yes, definitely, because the business plan ought to be what your business needs. And in this context, we're talking about MBA students from all over the world, by the way. It was in Texas, but one of the plans I saw was Oxford, and there were contestants from France, from Colombia, from Australia, from Canada, from Thailand, from Hong Kong. So getting back to the point, though, we're talking about a business plan competition, and that doesn't mean that the business plan that the person across the street do to start their business has to be of the same quality to win a business plan competition. Everybody's business plan has to be exactly what they need to run their business and not anything more. Definitely, yeah, that's an important point.
Yeah, and not only, folks, just to get the business, but to run it. And of course, what that means, Tim, in my experience, is if you've got 7 or 8 components to your business plan, running your business with your business plan, that doesn't mean you have to come back to all 7 of the components. You're going to spend a lot of time in the financials over and over again, what you projected, what you thought was going to happen, what actually did happen. Occasionally, you're going to come back to, you know, the marketing part or the human resources part, but some part of your business plan should be part of your ongoing management. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tim if he saw any new ideas for businesses in this business planning judging that he's been doing, and if there's anything he could share about that with us. And that's right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Tim Berry. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. They're the folks who make Business Plan Pro. Tim, as you've judged these business plans in these two different universities, and you've seen dozens of the business plans now this year, and of course over the decades, you've seen thousands. But what did you see anything that you thought was a really cool thought? If somebody came up with a great idea for a new business, did you see anything out there that would either inspire us or would educate us?
I'd like to surprise you with my answer to that question, because what I think was intriguing in these contests the last few weeks was the performance of a latecomer that was asked to the University of Oregon competition because some other team dropped out. Only a week before the competition, a team from the University of Georgia came in called Mullis Enterprises. And what's interesting is, in this world of sophisticated, high-tech biomedical, software, Web 2.0 businesses. This team that entered late for the University of Oregon contest won the $50,000 prize based on a business that is going to market grandfather's cockroach recipe.
Wait a minute.
Cockroach bait.
Slow down. Wait a minute.
It is so non-high-tech.
You're saying a company who didn't even know you existed a week before the event was invited to join because somebody dropped out.
Well,
this is like the last minute qualifier for a professional golf tournament. You know, he wasn't even in the tournament on Tuesday, and on Wednesday somebody dropped out and he gets in and wins the tournament.
Well, technically what happened here is the coordinator of the program at the University of Georgia knows the organizer of the program at the University of Oregon, and a week earlier said, by the way, if you need an extra entrant, we have a good team. And then over in the University of Oregon, one of their 20 finalist teams dropped out a week before the competition, leaving them with only 19. Awkward moment. Call the University of Georgia. Remember you said you had a team that was ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
I sure do. Okay, bring them over. And they won.
Won
not with a high-tech thing, but it is literally the cockroach bait recipe that the grandfather of one of the three MBA participants has been using for 30 years.
Unbelievable.
To kill cockroaches. Not a bit of high-tech about it. And it's a reminder that businesses start and are viable because they solve problems people have.
Well, you know, sometimes our friend Peter Meyer likes to tell us that, you know, the best businesses are the businesses that answer problems.
Yeah.
The problem came first and the solution came second, as opposed to people who create solutions looking for a problem.
Exactly. And you just know that nobody was waking up early in the morning musing about the chemistry of cockroach bait or working on their PhD thesis on cockroach bait. Cockroach bait was invented to kill cockroaches, so problem solution. And the success of this team, which obviously its plan was prepared, because I don't want to give you the idea that they somehow, oh, quick, let's write up a plan. The team was already together. The plan was together. They had competed in other contests.
But they not only had a business model that you could believe, they also obviously presented it well.
Very well. And the enthusiasm and the thoroughness and sort of the personal pizzazz of the presenter makes a big difference.
And they took away $25,000 or $50,000?
This was actually $50,000.
They took away $50,000. Now, the Texas deal was $100,000, right?
The Texas deal, it's interesting because the Texas deal is a first prize worth $100,000, but it turns out that's $25,000 in cash. And then series of services.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there anywhere that anybody could go and see a video of these presentations? Is that available anywhere?
Boy, that's coming. Not yet. You can
go. I'd like for my audience to have access to that.
Oh, me too. I would be so happy. I do have on my blog, blog.timberry.com, links to several prize-winning videos.
Okay, good.
Related to this
blog,
kind of thing.
Blog.timberry.com.
Yes.
All right, check that out.
Videos.
All right. Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always happy to be with you, Jim. Thanks.
We'll see you next time. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.